And here we go. Snakes, rats, and goats. Welcome back. Talking about Survivor Season 34, Episode 5. We're going to stick with that for now. And this is
your episode numbers.
Yeah, we're going to stay. We're not going to join Survivor Daylight Savings Time or whatever they're calling it yet. But
all right. I trust you. Whatever decision you make with the episode numbers, I fully support.
We'll see. That voice you just heard is my co-host, Scott Chernoff. I am Ryan Elder. And let's talk about it, Scott.
Do we have to?
Yeah, can we?
I mean, this is a tough night.
The church bells are ringing.
Oh man, long live the queen!
Yeah, why don't you bring our guest in and then we'll get into it.
Okay, yeah, there's a lot to cover. Okay, so we'll bring him in. Okay, hey, who's a really funny person? Mark McConville. Welcome, Mark. Hey, you
Thanks
know
for
Mark.
Having me. Hello.
Listen, this guy, and I've worked with him many times, so I can personally vouch that he is top quality in the entertainment world. He's a member of the comedy group and podcast Super Ego, which many of you know about, and those who don't should be scouring iTunes or probably not. You're on. I don't know where you get it now.
You can get it on Stitcher Premium and also iTunes.
So there's really no reason not to, because it's double the opportunity.
Really,
and also
podcasts are found.
You're in trust it. It is, if you like comedy, you like Super Ego. And there's another amazing thing going on for you, which is you're the announcer of Pistol Shrimps Radio, Mark.
That's right, Scott.
Tell us what this is. Who are the Pistol Shrimps?
Pistol Shrimps are a female recreational basketball team here in Los Angeles, California. They play Tuesday nights at various city park gymnasiums. Mm-hmm. And Matt Gourley, my comedy spouse, and I will sit at a little table that I bring in my car, and we will do play-by-play. Matt doesn't know anything about sports. I played hockey as a kid, and I like football, and I watched some baseball, but basketball is kind of the major sport I don't know much about. So, like, we both know how sports casting sounds, but we don't have any basketball knowledge that's worth anything. And so you can imagine that we just sort of, while basketball's happening, we talk about Star Wars and make up songs, and it just, it's a de-evolution at all times.
In the time that you've been doing this, though, have you not picked up some basketball knowledge?
I feel like we've gotten better as the years have gone on. We've done it since 2015. So it's very confusing, too. There's like two seasons a year, or two basketball seasons a year.
That's just like Survivor.
It's exactly.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's how we got to season 34.
Yeah,
it's been 17 years.
34?
Oh, it sure is, Mark.
Oh, boy. Okay.
But let me just finish before we get to that now. There is a documentary. Can we see it?
Yeah, it's on CISO, which is online streaming site. So you can check out the documentary. It was really cool. I mean, Matt and I filmed our little part, but it's a great sort of like underdog sports documentary that is kind of unbelievable. They got lightning in a bottle. That's a phrase, right?
Are there not some celebrities on this team? Or,
well, Aubrey Plaza was on the team originally, and there's some drama there that you can see in the documentary. The team is really a bunch of hilarious comedy ladies who decided they wanted to get some exercise and hang out and get pizza later. So, but the team is getting really, really good. They did not start out so good, but it's coming around.
Well, all right. And I think on CISO, Ryan, you can even see, you can hear the music of Ryan Elder. Is this true?
Yeah. Harmon Quest is on CISO.
Sure. Yeah.
So you really have no excuse.
I don't need to plug myself, you know.
No.
I'm on this show every week, so.
We don't do enough plugs of your work.
That's okay. That's okay.
And one last book. Were you not on? What was this? You were on a TV show recently, Mark, and you looked like you were from the 80s.
Oh, yes. I did a guest spot on Blind Spot on NBC. And one of the sort of like very commonly recurring characters had a flashback sequence to his college days. So I had to wear a wig and a little soul patch and some clothes that I don't know where they came from. But yeah, then my character left college and grew up to be sort of an Elon Musk energy billionaire.
Okay.
Well, which is, you know, typecasting.
Actually, you've got the look for that.
Well, thank you.
You do. All right. Now, enough of this. Okay. Yeah. Enough of your bullshit career. Let's get on to what really matters in life. Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh. So, okay, Mark, have you seen the show before? I get to ask this time, Scott. You always ask. Have you seen Survivor before? And if so, how much?
Well, Ryan, I did a small amount of research, and I can tell you with definitive truth that the last time I watched Survivor was August 23rd, 2000.
Love it.
Was that the finale of season one?
You're correct, Scott. I watched the first season. I found it to be an electric television experiment that I thought would die.
And you saw basically the whole season.
I saw the whole first season. I was just out of college. It was the summer after college for me. So I was, my roommate and I would tape it and watch it and just, I distinctly remember being in this sort of strange camp among my friend group, just like, they're not going to do this again. Like, it just felt like this was a cool TV experiment. They shipped all this equipment to an island, and these poor people had to sort of, you know, figure out this weird game, and they will not do it again. And then, of course, here I am 17 years later talking to you guys about it.
Well, I mean, I probably watched
a little of the second season and went, I don't care for this.
Okay. So you think you did watch a little?
I guess maybe did watch a little more.
Mm-hmm. Well, the story's changing. I remember thinking not I won't watch it, but like they can't do not they won't do it again, but like they'll try, but they won't catch this lightning in a bottle again. They're not the cast was too perfect. They'll never come up with a good enough cast. That's what I thought.
Oh, wow. I do. Now that we're talking about it, I haven't thought about it in so long. I missed the first episode of the second season, and it was in an era before streaming, and nobody had taped it. So yeah. I remember coming, we had some friends, and they were watching it when I came home once, and I think I saw like 5 minutes of it and went, well, I don't know anything. Like, I missed the sort of like, here's everyone stuff. So I was I was not invested in any way, and I could not get back into it. So I just went, okay, I don't watch this anymore.
Right. All right. So you saved yourself a lot of time.
So 17. So 17 years
plus episodes later.
Yeah. So let me ask you now. You know, 17 years later, we made you watch an episode. I just want to ask you,
what is going through your head right now? Where are you focusing your thoughts?
I want to know how anybody could come into it now. Even if you watched from the first episode of this season, it seems like you need to know everybody's history.
Well, this season is an anomaly in a way because it's all returning players, and most seasons will be all new players.
Right.
But does the show seem different to you? Like, is it like watching the same what you remember from 17 years ago? Or
it seems much more polished. It seems much more I big props to Probst. The guy looks the same, he seems the same, he's smooth as hell, man. I really am like, I'm a Probst guy. I like him a lot.
He might be the new Dick Clark now that you bring it up, in that he does look the same.
He really does.
He does not age.
Yeah, and I could appreciate, I mean, I guess it felt the same. My memory of the first season is pretty distant, so
right.
I don't really, you know, there's not a lot of like, oh, well, the challenge should have come 20 minutes earlier. I didn't have any, like, the format felt the same to me, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. But without any context.
Well, I want to tell you, dude, that the challenge should have come 20 minutes earlier. And I was really pissed off about it.
Hey, you know, if Probst is the next Dick Clark, I do think we got a glimpse of the next Probst tonight, Scott.
Cochran? Oh, my God.
Oh, well, you think he would host the show?
I think they might be grooming him. Didn't that feel like a little
interview? I hadn't thought of that. Well, he did. Oh. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't even know what to make of that whole.
Well, we'll get to it. We'll get
yes.
to it.
Oh, yes, we will. Where do we even begin?
Where do we begin? I mean, we can bury the lead if you want, or we can get right into the main reason you and I are on suicide watch now.
I'm in mourning. The queen.
So, Mark,
are you serious?
Yeah.
Sandra. I hated her immediately, and I have not watched a minute of the show. I hated that lady right away.
Well, has been the reaction to her amongst newcomers this season. So,
yeah. It's so
I guess
funny.
I was very put off by her sort of self-aggrandizement and, you know, she has catchphrases and shit. It felt like she was. It really felt like she was like a World Wrestling Entertainment creation. That she, you know, like yeah. she had to get in her little catchphrases. And she was doing like wrestling promos. Nobody else really felt like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
yeah. I can't argue with you about.
She seems very groomed. She seems like someone is grooming her to be on the show. Well, in a way that I don't know that I see on other, not that I watch a ton of reality stuff, but it just, she seemed like such an outlier to everybody else. And maybe that's why people like her. I don't know.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of history there, obviously, but she was never a very flamboyant character until this season, but she always had a lot of personality and spunk, mm-hmm. and she always spoke her mind and was basically considered a villain, but her strategy was much more subtle in the past, where she was able to kind of fade back and let other people take center stage and take each other out, while
right.
she said, I'll vote for anybody as long as it's not me, so go ahead and use me, I'm no threat to you. And yeah, she made it to the end and won twice back, you know, two seasons, 7 years apart from one another. And it was fairly astounding.
Yeah. I mean, that seems like an achievement.
Yeah. I mean, I think if there's, I think if there's anyone in Survivor history who deserves a catchphrase or two, it's probably Sandra. But
now, she never had a catchphrase before. But
yeah, she did. I mean, you just said it. What? Anyone but me.
Oh, anyone but yeah, I guess. But that wasn't.
That'd be her T-shirt.
A manufactured catchphrase. Yeah, yeah. That was a very.
That was a strategy. Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't exactly a catchphrase. You're right.
It wasn't planned to be anything, but she. This season, she having been the only person to play twice and won both times, had such a huge target on her back that she could not play that strategy again. There were other big personalities, and they went out before her. But we knew it was much more likely that she would get taken out before the merge. We thought possibly first vote.
Yeah. You know,
but
something I
found, really hoped.
Yeah, I know. You know, something I found really interesting about the way they edited her in this episode, you know, normally when someone that sort of cocky gets voted out, you get a lot of confessionals of them saying, I'm going to be totally fine. I got this under control, which we did get those. But we also got some where she said, I don't know, this doesn't smell right. I don't think, you know, and she actually got to say, I think it's me tonight to Jeff, which like they usually never show the person who goes home saying that because they want people to think that this person got blindsided. But
yeah,
they didn't make it look like that. They gave her a lot
this season, despite the fact that new viewers like Mark ended up hating her. Like they set her up, I think, as a villain, partly so that you wouldn't be too disappointed when she got voted out. But I think this season has only helped her legacy. This is first person I can think of voted out this early in the game, because Mark, the game she played leading up to this episode strategically was at like the highest level of survivor strategy we've seen.
And honestly, in some cases, she was really good strategically in this one too. And, you know, if I didn't know better, I thought it actually worked there for a second, you know?
It seemed like it might. I felt like maybe the better play, which she had no way of knowing, and I'm just armchair quarterbacking, would have been from the outset to tell Ty they're out to get you, you know? And eventually that maybe might have led to him giving her an idol.
Yeah, and that's a very Sandra-type play, too.
But, you know, she had no idea. I mean, it's she came into a situation where for the first time, I mean, this swap happened.
Yeah.
You know, she was the minority, and this other group had been together long enough that they were not going to break up. It was just really the luck of the draw in many ways. She did. I don't know what she could have done. They knew, like, props to them.
Props
to
them.
Zeke for lead. Proposed to them and to Zeke for leading the charge that this is your chance to get her.
Yeah.
So and you're stupid to not get her.
Now, wait a minute. So you said something about a swap, and that was pretty confusing to me. So that was, I mean, nothing is on the show. Nothing on the show is so complicated that I just go like, I don't get it. But, so that's a thing now where they'll take a tribe and another tribe and just go like, okay, we're mixing it up again. Yeah. Like, is that to stir the pot so that strategy gets annihilated? And so that, you know, I mean, again, it's like, I have such a loose understanding of the strategy.
You figured it out.
Drives me a little crazy though.
Cat's out of the bag.
You guys saying like, oh, she played this brilliant strategy thing. It's like, I don't, That felt very isolating to someone who doesn't watch the show.
Where sure.
They're like, why they picked the two guys laying on the rocks. So I was like, I don't know why I need to see these guys getting together and talking about whatever they're talking about. It didn't make, you know what I mean? And I didn't, there was the older guy with a beard, I don't know anybody's name, where he was like, I was on the top and now I'm on the bottom. I was like, okay, like, why you are, it doesn't, everyone hates you and the other group like it, there's, I feel like, anyway, I feel like there's a huge barrier of entry to the show, like,
well,
I don't think
certainly coming in on episode 5, but yes, I agree with you, like the last season you watched was basically a camping documentary and this is like, you know, a complicated strategic social game now.
Yes, and like
more,
you know,
more layers to it than there used to be. But you are correct that they do, since the third season, they've been swapping the tribes up.
Right. And at
unexpected points. And this season they started with two tribes and then switched them up into three and then just switched them back up into two.
So I mean, I don't know if I'm going to make enemies out of you guys, but I do watch The Amazing Race. Which is another.
It is so on, dude. I will kill you. You are now my sworn enemy.
No one is allowed to watch both.
I watched The Amazing Race for years. I stopped watching a few years ago because I kind of got bored with it. I felt like it was the same all the time.
Yeah, it can be tough, but this season is Strangers. Like the pairings are random.
Is it better? Is it interesting?
It's sort of interesting in that, like, they have to find their chemistry right away. And there's a pairing that is a terrible pairing. Mm-hmm. And you can just tell that, you know, you kind of want them to figure it out, but you kind of feel like, yeah, they're kind of dead in the water. right. You know what I mean? Like, so I can appreciate on Survivor them being sort of like, well, let's not. I mean, I could see in this season of Amazing Race them going like, oh, hey, surprise, you guys are switching teams now. You new partners. Like, we're shuffling it all up. I could see, like, I appreciate the randomness of the game on both shows. I can really appreciate the producers being like, let's not let these people get too comfortable.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's part of the plan is that because what happens is that the strategy and the alliances get so kind of solidified if they stay together for the first half of the game that, you know, in the second half of the game, they all merge into one tribe. And what was happening was that whichever of the two tribes had a majority number at the merge just picked off the other tribe.
Right.
And it wasn't as interesting to watch for that stretch of the game. Right. So they started switching it up for that reason.
Yeah.
And I think maybe I can't speak to Survivor, but I can speak to Amazing Race. I get very bored with people who are super fans and know the mechanics of the game. And they know, like on the Amazing Race, they'll say, well, we better watch, you know, I better write down what the flags look like and what the capital cities are. Mm-hmm. And because I know there's going to be a puzzle later that I have to solve. So they're constantly.
And you don't like that.
Well, I don't like that it's just a given that that will be part of the game.
I mean, are they always right?
Most of the time, the final challenge is always some sort of like, all right, put the order of cities you were in by the foods right. you ate. You know what I mean? Like,
one thing that I think Survivor has going for it now is that they have done so many of these different random twists, and this switch may not happen or it'll always happen at a different time.
Uh-huh.
And so they know something's coming, but they never know quite what.
Yeah.
Right. It seems like Survivor has a lot more capability of the modular nature of like, oh, we can change, we can make it 9 tribes for one episode right. if yeah. we want, right? Like they could, can kind sure. of manipulate
9 tribes of 2.
Yep. Because it's stationary.
That'd be
they
awesome.
Can, you know yeah. what I mean? Like they can manipulate the game however they want, whereas I feel like on the Amazing Race they're sort of limited by like, well, we have to fly people across an ocean, so there's like right. a huge time gap and all that, you know, like there's weird hangups on that show, but it's the same production people, right? It's Burnett.
No,
it's not. Oh, you're right. It's not. It feels very similar to me though.
Yeah,
watching
leave the member of the Munsters. The Munster family produces it.
Really?
No, the guy's name is like Bertram Van Munster.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I thought you meant like Eddie Munster.
Well, that's what I choose to believe, that Eddie Munster grew up and created the Amazing Race.
It is Bertram Van Munster.
As a kid, he was Eddie Munster, but his real name is Bertram. And
Bertram.
After high school, he's like, I should probably go by my real first
name. I really missed the boat by not naming my son Bertram. Now that I think about it. Okay, yeah. Back to Survive.
All right.
Yeah. So,
Amazing Race is delightful, but.
Yeah.
I'm hijacking your shit. I'm like, oh, let's talk about the show.
No, that's cool. Because you were talking about the tribe shuffle, which is something we definitely want to talk about. Because at that point is when Debbie goes to Exile Island, in quotation marks. And if there's one thing about Exile Island, I know it's...
I'm sure there's not a pony on Exile Island.
I wish there had been.
Can you imagine?
Hey, Mark, what was your take on Debbie?
I liked her in the previously on. Yeah. I really liked her.
The previous and Prof goes, out, and right? Debbie lost her mind.
Yeah, she really went off the deep end there. I don't know. I think a lot of times when I watch a reality show, I will think about the producers going like, well, we have to get... I don't mean this in like a personally insulting way to Debbie, but like there has to be some toxicity to somebody.
Yeah.
Conflict I think they like,
is, yeah.
Yeah, they like somebody who's maybe a little braggadocious or a little bit of a loose cannon. So she seems to be. What's that?
You think they're really looking for an outspoken character?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean...
I've been reading this all wrong.
There was a reality, just a quick digression. There was a reality show that failed a couple years ago called Utopia, which was like a bunch of people living together on like a farm and trying to subsist without outside interference or whatever.
Sure. And, yeah.
Casting was so bad that my wife redubbed it America's Loosest Cannons.
Why were they all?
They were
crazy?
All crazy.
Was it all Debbie's?
Basically, yeah, yeah.
They should do Survivor Debbie Island. It's just an island full of like Debbies and coaches.
Yeah, go ahead,
Brooks.
Mark
gets that basket out and he's like, "Okay, everybody, pick your new thing." But one of you is going to the island. Do you think like, are you guys familiar with the New York Knicks draft where there was allegedly a frozen envelope? The NBA draft.
I love that.
No, what does that even mean?
Patrick Ewing was like they thought he was maybe a generational talent, and the New York Knicks were sort of in the tank and they were terrible. So there's like a conspiracy that David Stern, the NBA commissioner at the time, froze, like the way they picked what team would get what was there's just a big thing of envelopes and someone would reach in and pick one. And that was the first team that would pick. So there's a conspiracy theory that they froze the Knicks envelope so that the Knicks would get this.
So that player. Whoever, so that they would know it was.
So they knew,
because the was the Knicks.
The cold one was the one you want to pick because they wanted the Knicks to be good. Because when a major market team is good, the league is better. See, here I said I didn't know anything about sports, and I know this. Weird conspiracy theory about a frozen envelope.
I love it. Guess so they like froze the little...
I'm far more interested in frozen envelopes and deflated balls than the actual games themselves.
Yeah, it's that's the drama.
The intrigue.
But so getting back to Survivor, do you think that Debbie was the best person to go to that Exile Island thing?
Well,
do you think the show was probably like, please let it be Debbie?
Yes.
Or no. Show was like, it doesn't matter who it is.
I don't think they wanted her in particular.
No.
Do you, Ryan?
No, I don't think they would have like said for sure we want her the most. I'm sure that there were a couple people they were hoping didn't go. You know,
such as
people that maybe are less interesting interacting with
Cochran. Well, maybe they shouldn't have cast so many people who are less interesting.
Yeah,
because I'm starting to get even more riled up about this issue. And I know that these are human beings with feelings, and I hope none of them are listening, but since all of the really fantastic players have been getting voted off, is there going to be anybody interesting left in the second half of the season?
Yeah, it sure doesn't seem like it.
Well, and then is that your? Again, I can only speak from The Amazing Race when they do sort of like all star shows.
Yeah.
Right away, they start to go like, this is this super strong team, and we all need to rally against them. Like it's just a basic tenet of these types of shows.
That is one of the ways that it can go, and it doesn't always go that way on these seasons. Mm-hmm. The returning seasons, but it has gone that way before, and that is the way it is going now.
Yeah.
But like, my gripe is, especially on a season called Game Changers, where the idea is that these are all great players, that they really only cast half of the player of them are great players, and like the other half are, some of them are just there because they're interesting characters, and some of them are neither. And my gripe is, or my hope is, or my pitch, let's say it's my pitch, is what if on a season called Game Changers or something like it, they were all amazing players?
Yeah.
So that there, it wasn't just the weak teaming up against the great. And for us viewers, we could see always great players playing the game.
I like that pitch, Scott. It's a great
Thank
pitch.
You. Thank
but
you.
Scott, is your problem then there haven't been that many amazing players over 17 years of this show?
No, my problem is that some of the casting choices could have been different.
It's probably really hard to get people to come back.
Yes. Oh, I'm absolutely.
Timing, all sorts of reasons why.
There's a lot of reasons and stuff that I'm not privy to, and I'm just sitting here spouting off.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some insider information you could get if you really dug hard enough.
But on the other hand, Mark,
yeah.
I am a person in show business, so therefore my opinion matters.
Yeah.
And B, I have a podcast.
Yeah.
And not just anybody can get on the internet and make their opinions known. So it must be that I'm on.
I don't know about that.
I must be onto something, is what I'm saying.
Well, can we talk about what I really, really enjoyed about this episode of this particular show?
Absolutely.
Can we talk about Ty?
Yes.
I'm the game changer. And
he's great.
Everybody loves Ty.
Ty is universally loved by our guests.
Every guest who comes on is like, I hate all of these people except for that magical man they call Ty.
He is magical, and I got mad when somebody accused him of like going out and looking for what I assume are immunity idols where he's safe for a week. Is that
correct?
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
well, more or less, safe for whenever he might use it.
I didn't understand why people were mad at him for going and looking for those when anyone can do that.
Right.
And I also got really mad. Like, one guy was in a hammock for a while, like yelling at people. I was like, dude, you're in a hammock. Go get firewood.
Oh, man.
Who is that, I wonder?
You are.
It was.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, this is the type of attitude that, like, sort of an old school player of Survivor would have, you know, like,
yeah,
go get firewood. Don't sit in the hammock. I love it.
Well, exactly.
All I remember from that first season was like, I think Hatch was a real lazy dude. And that was the knock on him, is that he wasn't helping out or that
well,
was
a
bad,
fishing a
that
lot,
was
a, right.
Wasn't or, that, oh, yeah, a lot of fishing. Right. But there's like, always, there were people that was always an issue with.
Yeah, it's like if you're not helping, if you're not gathering firewood or.
And that was a major theme for years on the show and less so now, but occasionally it still does come up.
Right.
If somebody is particularly egregious.
Because it felt, I mean, like it honestly, like you said, it's like the first season is a camping documentary. Like it, now it just feels like outside strategy without shirts.
Yeah. Yeah, it really
has
become
the new
that.
Name for the that's the new name for the show.
Topless so, outside strategy. That's
Wednesday on Outside Strategy Without Shirts. The new Coup Tribe mixes it up.
But I loved Ty. I loved his sort of like, I think I figured I found a clue in a tree, and then I rubbed water on some wood at night and I saw a thing and I dug and I found an idol. And then when I got put in the other camp, I went, I wonder if it's the same. It is. That guy,
I love that
great.
He figured that out. That was amazing.
Too.
He should win the show. And then I got very confused at the whole vote out part of it, where it felt like he fucked up. It felt like he didn't know what he was really doing by saying, like going against what I thought was the agreed upon strategy. It felt very like it. I mean, I think Probst even says, like, you seem to be unraveling, sir.
Yeah.
Well, like, okay, so you basically saw, you know, vintage Ty. I mean, this was pretty archetypal Ty in that he went out and found two idols in the same episode, which is pretty amazing.
Pretty rare.
Nobody knows that he has them, right?
Like nobody knows he has them.
Yeah.
And I thought it was brilliant that I've read some griping that are like, oh, they should have hidden it in a different place in the other camp. I think they have to hide it in the same place at every camp to make the game fair overall. Somebody could have found it earlier before that swap. But like you said, Mark, a lot of them don't go out looking. And the reason is because of how you saw people reacting to Ty, because they get suspicious that you're up to something, even though it's a part of the game and it should not be frowned upon, because it's just like trying to play the game. But people will think, okay, what's he going to use it for? Who's he going to use it on?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to get somehow blindsided by this? You know, what's... So they don't... They start to feel, in some ways, it seems like, well, doesn't he trust us and our alliance? Now is, I guess he's in it for himself, which again, yeah, is... That is the game. So right, they shouldn't hold it against him. But what happened to Ty his first time playing, he made it all the way to the end. And then nobody voted for him because he's such a wonderful, lovable guy that they couldn't believe he voted them out or that he lied to them about anything.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I guess that is a complication of...
Same as they did.
Of these shows. And again, it's like I'm lumping the mechanics of Amazing Race into it as well. But there's stuff that should not be a surprise to the contestants. You should not be surprised right, that at some point,
yeah,
there's a mechanic in the game that screws over a player or a team. And
right. When I watch the Amazing Race, there'd always be somebody going, "I can't believe that you turned us."
And it's like, yeah, you should
trying
believe
to
it.
Win a game.
Yeah, like it. It's very, I mean, I think that's very telling of personality types and what people are really made of. If they can just sort of absorb it and go like, really smart move. I'm mad that it happened to me, but let's try to keep going. Right.
Which rather is the than, way that Sandra seemed to handle it at the end of the night.
Right.
Like, you got me. Congratulations. Have a great time.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, it's easy to be a good sport when you've won two out of the three times you played,
that's
though.
That's true. Well, but back to Ty. Ty is amazing as a character, as a person. And he also, in the tribal council, like the other thing you saw, that he has trouble communicating. And it may be because English is not his first language. And
yeah,
there's also, to some degree, some people, you know, including Jeff Probst, say that he also will use that to his advantage sometimes if he wants people to think that he doesn't understand. But it also cuts against him in that he can't always communicate what he's thinking very well. And I didn't even mean that as a slam. Like, he may have a very clear idea of what he's doing.
For sure.
But he's not as able to communicate, to articulate that idea.
His thing of like, maybe we vote for Sandra, like that felt like a weird bluff. And again, it's like, I'm just reading it off the one episode I've watched. But his behavior when the pressure was on and that vote was coming, it felt more calculated than just him sort of bumbling. If that makes
right.
any sense.
Yeah. Well, number one, the pre doesn't handle pressure well. But number two, I think that they... I don't know what you think, Ryan, but I think that, I don't know if it was a ruse or what happened at the end there, but I guess I feel like there's something we didn't see.
I think there's, you know, an hour that we didn't see at least of everyone, not Sandra and Varner, going, "Ty, you're fine. Stick to the plan. We're with you." You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, why wouldn't they do that? They're not just going to they need him. They're not just going to let him sink, you know?
Now, Sandra today says there wasn't much more conversation. But I don't know. I assumed that there was. It seemed like Zeke may have turned Ty around. It also, Sandra thought that Ozzy suspected that Ty had an idol and he got freaked out because Ty threw out Ozzy's name, so if Ty played an idol, Ozzy would have been the one to go home.
But Ty would have to play the idol on Sandra. Like, they don't even need Ty. You know what I mean?
I don't know what happened.
Now I'm dizzy.
yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. I don't understand this, like, I don't understand why Ty whispered Ozzy into Sandra's ear. I thought it was a great moment, and it was a great moment for Sandra to use one of her first, I guess we're not calling it a catchphrase, but in this case it kind of was, where she said, you know, go ahead, whisper a name in my ear, just as long as it's not me. Don't whisper my right. name. You know, I thought that was a great moment, and I don't know why he did that. It's insane to me
It's I thought she almost, it seemed like she was going to pull it off.
It did. It really did.
It was so interesting in the talks. I mean, I think she joined a group that was very cohesive, so she just didn't have a chance to get in. But it was really interesting when she talked to them and their reaction to it, the way they were like, man, she makes a lot of good points. Like, she's actually right, and I want to think about her points, but we still need to get her off. But they were almost swayed, and the way Sarah said, who by the way, Matt, is a cop, was like, she was like grooming us, which you know what that is. It's when a predator, or like a child predator, tries to befriend a victim.
Yeah, that was a creepy word to use, but it was kind of true in a way. Like, I thought that that scene where Sandra sits down and tries to convince them to go against Ty was like Survivor 101 right there. Like, that's how you do it, right? Calm, just even-toned, no pressure, no, you're not panicking. It's very comforting to hear an argument from someone. You're going to be much more likely to buy into it when they come at you with that sort of tone, I think. It was really, really good. Like, this episode went out of its way to show you that Sandra deserved to win twice, which, better late than never, I guess, but they certainly didn't do it on her seasons that she won.
No, they always kept her very under the radar. I mean, there were times when she was in danger those seasons, and she rose to the occasion and manipulated the situation to get somebody else voted out. But she didn't have to do it as much as she had to this season.
Yeah.
But yes, they definitely treated her with maximum respect this season. As much as they did make her into a villain. And by the way, she also said in her interviews that the tribe did eat a goat the next day.
No.
A whole other story.
Well, speaking of eating, we sort of did gloss over a thing that I have a question about, which is the Exile Island sort of moments.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I want to get into all of that.
Yeah.
That was very strange. I mean, I understand the sort of like, oh, one of you is going to have this horrible fate, and then it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So Exile Island has been a thing on and off on the show for several years. And it's usually what it sounds like.
It's all
the name is great. It's like, oh, cool. No, you don't want that.
Like, right.
That's a thing to avoid.
And it's always been something terrible where people are sometimes for like 3 days alone with nothing. And they come back looking like they've been through hell.
So that maybe is my question about like, I mean, we can talk about what happened with it, but I guess like, do you feel like in the next episode, this Debbie Cuckoo Pants person is going to be like, hey, I got to eat a bunch of food and drink wine on a yacht? Or is she just going to be like, yeah, it was terrible?
Well, like, is Debbie we're talking about.
If she's smart, she just won't say anything.
Debbie.
Yeah.
If she's smart, she'll act like it was terrible. Or she'll be like, you know what? Honestly, it wasn't as bad. Like, it was bad, but
I think here's what you can say. Here's what you can say if you're Debbie.
Yeah.
Where you can sort of not lie, but let them kind of lie for you. And you can just say, if they say like, well, how was it? You can just say, well, how do you think? You've seen an Exile Island before.
No, that's too cagey. That's too.
No, right. That's like totally, that seems totally fine to me.
Well, what do you think? I'd be like, well, I'm just asking what it was like. That would arouse
basically you're saying like, it's a dumb question. What do you think it was like? You've seen an Exile Island.
I don't know. I would ask you more questions.
It feels like, I mean, like, I guess I'm just an honest person. And so it feels very like that's why maybe Survivor's not that appealing to me, because there's so much bluffing and there's so much.
Well, but to that point, like, if you feel like you can't lie comfortably, like, then you shouldn't in that game. Then you should say, like, honestly, it turned out to be a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, all I could think of too on the boat was just like, she should just start like, is there any reward to like stuff in your shorts with cheese and like peanut butter and going like, hey guys, like It wasn't Exile Island. I was on a luxury boat, and here's a bunch of food that I brought for everybody just to, like, garner goodwill.
Yeah, you know, that's a good question, because people used to do that.
Yeah.
And I get the feeling maybe they're not allowed to anymore, because nobody's done it in a long time.
I don't think they're allowed to, but in this case, I think Debbie used all her extra time to add time onto her hug with Cochran. So
I didn't get who that was.
I know. This was my favorite. I'm watching that scene and I'm just thinking, we're going to have to talk about this with someone who's never seen the show before.
They told you that he was a former winner, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I just like
that. But he didn't do that.
It's not like he did not give me a lot of like, oh, I'm standing on the shoulders of giants here.
No.
Like Superman has just arrived. I just was like, oh, did a guy who assistant manages a coffee house show up? Like
oh my God.
Right. Like they play it up like some superhero, like the cavalry is coming. And then it's just like, hey, I'm Cameron. I just didn't get any sort of like champion vibe off of him.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't.
That's not his style.
He did end up being a champion.
I love that he had to give advice to Debbie, the one person who is definitely not going to listen to advice from anyone.
That, I mean, it's crazy because, I mean, so there's a lot to talk about. And so first of all, this was a very unfair advantage, I think, and only mitigated by the fact that Debbie is the last person who can benefit from this.
Yeah.
You know, other than, you know, maybe Sandra or Ceree, they don't need advice as much, but they still could use him as a sounding board. I mean, the thing is, Mark, this guy Cochran is just a smart guy. The first time he played, he was a super nerd and, you know, not and very meek and unsure of himself.
And socially funny, awkward.
Very socially awkward, was brought back because he was such a funny character, like a Woody Allen type.
Sure.
And then he blossomed into like a strategic, he was always very
adept.
Smart.
He was socially adept his second time.
Exactly. He just blossomed and he played like a really smart, strong game. And he deservedly won at the end.
I can see, you know, like any game you play, having some reps at it makes you sort of go like, if you just make these sort of adjustments, you're going to succeed. Whereas maybe you can't see the speed of it or the whatever it is. You can't see all the angles from the outside. It's only after you've actually experienced some of it that you can go, oh, if I were a little more friendly, maybe I could succeed a little more on the show, right? Like, I could see someone like that sort of picking up that information and using it to their advantage.
And then doing well.
Yeah.
But in this situation, like, I mean, it's one thing that Exile isn't a deserted island and it's a luxury boat. I suppose that's no more unfair to have one person have that happen to than it is somebody sent there and it's terrible. I mean, that's also unfair for that one person, and that's what usually happens. But then on top of that, not only is she on a luxury boat with a feast, but she gets this amazing reward of talking to somebody who's really smart about the game and who has some idea of who the other players are because he's seen them all play before.
Yeah.
So can offer insight on all of them. And on top of that gets this other advantage thing, which, of course, we need to talk about. I thought that was a lot. And on top of that, she's immune this cycle.
Wait,
I mean,
really?
If Sandra had been sent to Exile Island,
I see what you're saying.
Whoever got sent there wasn't eligible.
They weren't in a trial.
I thought you were trying to say, which maybe I thought I missed, was that she was immune when she got back, but that's not true.
No. I just mean you're guaranteed to make it through the next tribal. You get to stay on a luxury boat, have a feast, get an expert consultation on strategy from an expert, who's won and get a new advantage. I mean, that's a lot for one person.
It was insane. When
I don't think that they should do that. Pick one is what I'm saying.
Luckily,
pick
Debbie
one.
Will at least squander it. But yeah, I mean, I totally agree. Like, imagine that going to someone who already had two immunity idols, for example.
Like, she should have gone to a real Exile Island, and then Cochran shows up and gives her an hour of consultation.
Yeah. So I want her
While she's just like horking down Vic Newtons.
Yeah.
I want her to like have to go to Exile Island and find some sort of clue buried in the sand that has a map to a location where she shows up and like Cochran is in this like throne in the middle of the forest. Like, it's just this like very complicated.
Oh, that would be amazing.
A wooden fortress or something.
Kneel before Cochran.
Cochran? Oh, my God.
Go ahead.
No, please.
I wanted to move on to another thing, which is the what arguably could be considered for a newcomer or somebody who's been away from the show for as long as I have. I was like, oh, good. The physical challenge thing is coming. And it was the dullest part of the show.
Yeah. Well, like, usually the challenges are really cool. I
thought that would be really fun. I was like, oh, maybe they won't just be in the woods talking about who to screw over. They'll actually have to do a thing.
It was really...
The thing was not very exciting to watch. And like, I was like, oh, at least... This could have been fun. Like, the puzzle didn't seem hard. Like, there was just no...
No, and the puzzle was done, like, immediately.
Yeah. And there's, you know, when 75% of the challenge is them pushing something heavy across sand,
yeah,
like, that's just, like, not the best TV, you know?
I don't know, dude. I would watch extreme hauling any day of the week. Come on.
And also, you know, come on, monkey bars? Like... What? Are we in a grade school? You
the
know?
Most exciting monkey bar footage since Al-Qaeda training camps. No, you're right. It was, you know, usually, Mark, the challenges are still very compelling. Uh-huh. This week was not. Which brings me right back to that boat. I want to get back on that boat with Debbie and Cochran because so much happened. And first of all, can we just talk about exactly what you said? The worst person to receive this advice. So, you feeling nervous? Nope. think you might need any outside perspective or just a sounding board? Not at all. Got it on lockdown.
I'm going to win.
Well, I mean,
sure.
There's a lot of, you know, really strong strategic players in the game and not a concern.
So,
you know, last time you didn't really
do very
well.
Why don't we just get right to the hug?
You got voted out, you know, and you didn't know it was coming. Won't happen again.
So, Scott, from your recap there, I take it that Debbie thinks she's going to win.
And that's not the only thing.
Again, it's like, I feel like when I relate to a player on a show like this, I'm always looking for the player that's like, I just want to try, and if I win, I win. I don't like it when people are like, I'm going to win. It's a lock.
Right.
There was like some dumb country singer duet couple on The Amazing Race a couple seasons ago that had a song. They had written a song about how they're going to win. And I was like, fuck off. Like, it's so strange to punch your ticket when you have no idea of like... Yeah. It could shake out so many different ways. So is she like
well,
that?
That's
is
one
she
of the
like...
reasons everybody loved Cochran, by the way, because he was so endearing.
Yeah. He didn't think he was going to win.
He had no self-confidence. Yeah, his humor was very self-deprecating.
Is Debbie on the other end of that? Or is she cocky or is she just clueless?
Debbie appears to be delusional.
Yeah, she's both cocky and clueless.
Oh, boy. Absolutely. It's a toxic cocktail.
Yeah. I mean, she really did appear to lose her mind in the previous episode. It was,
I was like, I wish I watched that one.
Before it, well, it's available.
It was a great episode for our podcast. In fact, Scott, can Debbie just be on every season just to make our job as podcasters easier? Like,
you know,
she's
Mark
so
knows.
Good.
Mark knows our guest from last week, Andy Crocker, who said to me, she said, well, the first thing she said to me was that she was very angry with me for never telling her until now that Debbie existed.
Yeah, I can relate to her anger, and I'm talking about Andy's anger.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, before this, Debbie was always just kind of kooky.
Yeah.
Right.
But she seems to have taken it to a new level.
Yeah. Well, and again, it's like, are the producers of the show, it's hard for me not to watch these shows from the angle of like making it.
Sure.
So I start to go like, are they just praying for her meltdown?
Yeah. You know,
are they praying for a meltdown from anybody? Because that's really, everybody loves a train.
They love conflict. I don't think they care whether it comes in the form of a meltdown. I think they just want conflict and story.
Right.
So however that may come.
Speaking of that element of just sort of like, people that you probably have two camps of like people who know they're on a show and want the show to be good. And then people who are just like sort of clueless to that or indifferent to it. Do you think that Cochran was like, I have to make, it felt to me anyway, that he had this sort of notion of this has to be good TV. Like
he's a writer. He's a TV writer.
Oh, he is. Yeah. So he really is. Cause it definitely had a feeling of, He seemed sort of at odds with, how am I going to make this compelling?
Yeah.
Right.
It felt like he knew he was on TV. Whereas Debbie, it felt like she had, like the cameras were invisible to her. And
she was just smiling.
Her chatting with an old chum.
She looked like a schoolgirl. She was so happy to see him. Yeah. Smiling, like cooing at him.
Cochran? Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Now, can we talk about Ryan, you're the gamer.
Yeah.
Did Debbie make the right choice about these three advantages? I like having a choice. I like the menu of advantages.
Okay, so run through that so we can.
Okay, so there were three choices. There is a make your own fake hidden immunity idol kit, which Mark, just so you know, in past years, people have, with varying degrees of success, sometimes attempted to make their own fake immunity idol that they can either pretend that they'll use either for leverage to tell people, hey, I found the idol,
right,
or that they'll hide and hope somebody else finds and thinks it's real.
Right.
So, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So that's
not a bird in the hand.
No.
There's a huge possibility that is useless.
Absolutely. My take as well.
Excellent.
That's my take as well. Okay. The second item on the list was a tribal immunity challenge advantage. So in the next tribal immunity challenge, your tribe would have some sort of advantage to help you win.
Like, okay, you don't have to do the monkey bars, but you do have to lift all the weird
exactly.
pieces.
Yeah, exactly. That has sometimes been an advantage, like skip one of the stages.
Again, that feels like tenuous. Like
they're all going to be tenuous to some degree. But yes, the third item was you can get an extra vote at an upcoming tribal council. She chose the extra vote. So now the history of that is it's been tried a couple times and nobody's used it successfully. They often end up getting voted out the same night they use it. But I still think it's the only viable choice of those three. You don't have to use it ever.
No,
you may never be in a position to use it.
Yeah, there's no discussion as far as I'm concerned. I mean, we're a podcast, so we have to discuss. But yeah, the extra vote is the selfish. It's the most powerful and the most selfish. She can keep it a secret, unlike the challenge one. Everyone's going to know that she got that. you know? And that's,
well, there's nothing wrong with that if you're using it to help. Everybody will know
she's,
if you,
she's going to help her tribe. Using it to help the tribe. So she doesn't know which tribe.
That should be good for you socially.
But she doesn't know which tribe she's going to end up on, right? So
right.
If she chooses and it, also, it and ends up on a tribe with people she's not aligned with, then the people who are aligned with her could be pissed at her.
You could also use it and still not win the challenge.
Exactly, exactly. The extra vote is a bird in the hand. It's the only one that's for sure a bird in the hand. Now, you have to use it correctly, but...
You don't have to use it at all.
You don't have to use it at all, yeah. Sometimes not using it...
As a nascent, armchair survivor player, it feels like you have to last pretty far into the game for it to be fully effective.
Well, so yeah, I mean, so
the fewer people you can vote for,
the more impact it'll have.
Absolutely, it gets more powerful the longer you wait. The key is you have to know where the votes are going for it to be really powerful, and for Debbie, that's going to be difficult.
Right. I don't think she'll end up, for her, actually, like for anybody else, I would say take the extra vote. For her, I might actually say take the tribal advantage because that could ingratiate her. And she's somebody who needs
maybe
a little more ingratiation with people.
Right. Now, and I think you could make an argument for any of that of just like, strategically, is it better to take the weakest and just expose it? Like, I think, going back to my old Amazing Race roots, I like it when a team will U-turn a team they know is ahead of them just so that no one can use it.
Right.
If that makes any sense. Like, it's an empty threat to no one.
Yeah. Well, right? There have been some people who've had a hidden immunity idol all season, never had to use it. Never used it and said that its greatest value was that they knew that where it was.
Right.
They knew that they had it and nobody else did.
Sure. And I think too, if you just were like, hey, I also think too that like anything you can keep a secret on Survivor seems to be better than things that you would have to make public. Because I think if she were to get a tribal thing that was like she had, you'd start to go like, wait, why do you have that? How did you get that?
Right. Which and then gets maybe back that to the question of how did you spend your time
on the island? Right. I was just looking for
I think her best bet would be to say, not that I think she will, would be to say, I was on Exile Island. It wasn't fun. It was pretty boring. It actually wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
I mean, that seems just as cagey as what I said, Scott.
Why? Why is that cagey?
I agree. I just have to say, it's not what I expected.
Well, then,
that's
that would garner more questions, too.
Honestly,
but then if they ask me questions, be like, was it brutal? It wasn't brutal, but it was it was boring and lonely and it was like being here but alone.
I'm fascinated too.
I would make it sound boring so they'd stop asking questions.
I honestly think the correct answer is just tell the truth. Like, who cares? It's not like, just say it was a boat and I got a bunch of food. You don't have to talk about the advantages, you don't have to talk about Cochrane. Like the best lies are half truths, right? Like,
sure.
Because it's much easier to tell part of the truth than it is all of a lie.
That's true. That's true. I guess she could say that there was a time when that would be very resented. I don't know if it's as resented.
I
seem to remember something about somebody who got some gourmet meal. Maybe it wasn't on American Idol. Maybe it was on American Idol.
No, somebody won a gourmet meal on American Idol.
Sanjaya has been voted to receive a gourmet meal this week.
Here's Wolfgang Puck's rendition of Mariah Carey's song that I can't remember what it's called. I seem to remember somebody getting, you get a massage and food, and when that person got back was like, here's what happened, everyone was like, fuck you, I ate a rat, you are going home.
Exactly.
So
I think it's that probably could still happen, and I think it's I don't know. I think it's smart for her to try to keep it as vague as possible.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, the thing I was going to say too is like, there have been times where like I will cut out sugar or I won't drink for a while or whatever. And then the first time back having that stuff is always like, whoa. So I wonder if, you know, what did they say? I thought the order of like stuff that was on the boat was very strange. Where it was like, there's food, fruit, alcohol, dessert, wine, and ice cream. Like the list was very strange to me. Some of it was very specific and some of it was not.
How was exile? Well, I was on a boat with a lot of food and crippling diarrhea for 3 days.
Right. Or like, you know, even if you had, you know, I don't know how long they've been. How many days has it been?
Well, Sandra said 16 days, right?
In real time.
Like 16 days, I guess. But a couple weeks. Debbie said it's been a tough couple weeks.
Okay. So I can't imagine just being malnourished for 2 weeks and then having a food of any type in a large quantity, or B, alcohol. Like, I hope she didn't have any alcohol, because I feel like that would just, your body would recalibrate, and I feel like you would hurt your.
Yeah, they basically brought her like half of a soup plantation.
And let's hope she doesn't get seasick out on that schooner too, you know.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Whatever that boat was. Sorry, any nautical fans calling me out on my.
I'm sure that she wouldn't, because she's, you know, I'm sure has experience.
Oh yeah.
In the Navy or something.
I still love your idea of her pulling up and there's a boat, but with like a beautiful pony just glistening on the bow.
Just scrambling, which says, I know there won't be a pony.
Oh really? Won't there?
Yeah, and then I'm imagining like Debbie lost. Just like, there's like a gloriously riding on the front on this pony at the front of the boat.
It's so great. Yeah, like with the polar bears on Lost.
Exactly. Sure. Exactly.
Well,
you spent so much time on Debbie. Is there anything else we want to talk
Debbie
about?
Debbie and Cochran.
Ty wins. I just hope he seems like a magical man, and I hope he finds all the hidden shit, and I hope he takes it all home.
You know, I think he's going to make it to the end again.
I'm the game changer, and
yeah. I think Ty and Debbie are going to make it to the end.
It kind of feels like it, doesn't it? It's hard to say. Yeah. They're neither of them can win. But
my only hope is that Sandra in her interviews today said that she says she thinks it's going to go down as the greatest season ever, and that wait till you see what happens, that every week will get crazier.
How does she know, though?
She's the queen, dude. She stays the queen. Queen stays the queen.
She is hiding in Tony's spy bunker the rest of the season.
I swear this. She is this solidified her. It's amazing how good she was this season.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that, because we knew she'd go out early, and I'm so glad she goes out with her head held high. But I'll tell you what happens on the other. You asked what else we hadn't talked about. Who's my other favorite? So now who am I now worried about? Because Mark, I go through every week worried about.
She's still playing.
My favorite
Scott?
Players. That's the thing. Ceree. She has still never been to a tribal council this season.
I know.
Season.
I thought of that too.
We have I don't think we've even heard a word from her in the last couple weeks.
So is she the only one left who hasn't?
I'm sorry. Can I make a comment here?
Of course.
Yes.
Who?
I should have been able to predict that.
Yeah. She is a woman named Ceree. This is her fourth time playing. She is,
oh my God,
much like Sandra, who that was her third time playing, like a legend who I love for being one of the greatest strategically at the game. She's never won, though, but she's come very close 2 times. And she is someone who you would probably like, Mark, because her story was, you know, more relatable, in that she was sort of the woman who got up off the couch, they always said, who decided to try, and she had never camped, and she was afraid of leaves, and she kind of so like her third. There was a season called Heroes versus Villains, which was one of the greatest. It was all returning players. She, yeah. Sandra was on the villains tribe, and she won. Suri was on the heroes tribe. So they're sort of like mirrors of each other. They're great strategic playing women who have managed to mow down some of the big male alphas, you know, with their minds. But Suri this season we've barely seen. And I don't know if it's because she's never gone to tribal. Because look, as soon as the tribe was going to tribal last night, boom, there's Zeke. We had barely seen Zeke.
There was no Andrea, though.
Which I rest.
Well, there was a little, man. There was a little.
There's
Andrea.
A little, but yeah. But Andrea's, yeah, she's not going to be relevant.
Yeah, no.
But Zeke was right in there. So we haven't. What's going on with Suri? And I don't know how to tell you who she is, Mark. I mean, she's an African American lady on the tribe that we saw very little of.
Yeah, it's very possible that. You even if we showed you a picture of her, you would not. You would be like, that person was playing. They just did not show her.
And she's like one of the most fun characters in the show's history.
Is that a knock on the show that you just it's too populated at the top, and then, I mean,
to
I guess
degree,
like
yes, it's when you watched it, Mark. 17 years ago, there would be 16 people. Yeah. Now there's typically 20. Mm-hmm. 18 or 20, but more often 20 now. But 18 or 20, but so, like, I was even thinking of that. Like, we got rid of, on this season, Sierra, Tony, Caleb, Malcolm. Okay, then when we got down to JT, Ryan, that's the point when the first, you know, seven seasons of the show started with 16 people.
I know. It's crazy.
So it's that. And also the show is shorter. There's more commercials than there used to be. So there's more people and less real estate.
Way less time to get to know them. Yeah. No, it's true. And that's why you tend to have people. That's why you tend to have people who go very far, but aren't important to the story early on. Get these sort of meaningless confessionals because they just don't want you to forget them, right? So, like, we get all these confessionals of Sarah telling us what her strategy is, how she's playing the game when she hasn't even really had to play the game yet, because obviously Sarah is really important to the later stages of the game.
Which is another thing that bums me out.
Well, because it's Sarah, not because, I mean, if it was Suri giving you these things, you'd be really excited
thrilled
about it, yeah.
So again, from a practical standpoint, this show is already finished.
Yep. Yeah, they filmed this last May.
Almost a year ago.
Yeah, almost a year ago.
Okay. And then, so again, from like a real world perspective, what's been going on with these people? Are they back at their jobs? Have they been, you know, did they spend Christmas with their families?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I assume they did, yeah.
So they just it's just purely a non-disclosure agreement kind of thing, and they don't have to be sequestered or anything like that.
Yeah. Right. Correct. So
they're
it is
sequestered.
An NDA thing.
They're sequestered, like when they get voted off, like Sandra last night, they're still there the whole time. That's the only thing. They're sequestered till the end of the game. So that nobody at home goes, oh, well, here's the order in which people return to America.
Yeah, yeah.
So they spoil, you know, so now we know who won.
Right. Okay. That makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. Right. But other than that, they're home.
Yeah.
Or wherever they're, I don't know where the hell they are, but they're not, you know, they're not there anymore.
Well, this leads me into my every returning player season, I have to say this, but like, again, watch out for spoilers this season. They're out there. I haven't seen any yet, but I've certainly heard rumors. You know, avoid. They're out there. If you don't want to know who wins or who makes it far.
I really don't.
Yeah.
I really don't, you guys.
You guys have watched enough of these that you can tell those things of why am I hearing from person X? yeah. so much. And then it tips their hand a little bit, you think?
We talk about the edit a lot and its importance to the story and who and how it does sort of telegraph at least the players that are going to be very, very important to the season or go far or both.
Right. It's been there was a went through a period where the winner was very easy to predict. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, they've gotten better at that.
Yeah.
And I haven't been able to predict the winner as easily most seasons. Not all, but most.
I'm looking at you season 30.
And looking at you season exactly 27. But it does tell you, like Ryan said, these are the people to watch. These are the people who will still be around in a while, and that's why Ty and Debbie and Sarah and Sierra and Brad. It's like all the people.
Oh, we didn't talk about Brad.
I'm a man.
He is a man. That's his main characteristic.
I've been waiting for someone to say Brad's name so I could.
I'm a man.
I could play that.
Yeah, he did what he does best. He found the one other man on his tribe, decided to team up with him. Hey, I could be in a power alliance of two against five women.
Sounds like a plan.
What's he think? I mean, I think he's been playing well overall, so I'm assuming that's not his entire plan.
Yeah. I think, you know, the relationship with Troyzan between Brad and Troyzan is obviously important to the story at some point. So that's why they showed us that, you know.
That's all we saw of that tribe, right?
I know. It is really true. So it must be really important.
I want to talk real quick also about Jeff Varner.
Let's do it.
I feel like if Sandra had stayed in the game, if the swap had been different, or if JT hadn't gone crazy 2 weeks ago and whispered in Brad's ear, you know, Sandra and Varner probably would have stayed together the whole game. Now Varner's adrift.
Yeah.
He's totally desperate. Like, he's so willing to believe anything they tell him.
Yeah, Varner does not play from the bottom well. You know, like, a lot of the reason he seemed so good this season, I think, is because he wasn't scared.
Right. But he's just like, oh, I'm so happy to hear that. He saved me.
I think he's the guy that was in the hammock who was not getting firewood.
Probably.
He was also laying on the rocks.
Oh, yeah.
One of the two guys laying on the rocks. Yeah. He was so quick to just eat whatever Zeke put in front of him, wasn't he?
Sandra was like, no. That doesn't add up.
I don't know about that.
Like, if they had told Varner, you know what, we're voting out Sandra, but you're going to be safe, and he had told Sandra that, she probably wouldn't have even gotten too suspicious.
No,
she might have still fought back.
Yeah. She would have believed it, of course.
She would have believed that story, but she was like, why are they going to vote out one of their own allies?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But Varner, he just wants to get to that jury. If he can get to the jury, I think he considers it a win.
I totally
And he
agree.
Can move on with his life.
Yeah. I feel like he could even be like, look, guys, just get me to the jury. And then you can vote me out, please.
That's happened before.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Bobby John.
Did it work?
In Guatemala, yeah, he made a plea to Stephanie, keep me one more round so I can be on the jury because I didn't make it last time, and she did, and then voted him out the next round.
There you go, yeah. So, hey, if it is really your goal, it's a decent argument.
And who knows, so,
sometimes one more week can be all you need, you know? One more
so,
3 days.
So, Mark, does that tell you how many episodes and what nerds?
Just like that, you know, locations and care, like things that have happened over the years.
That was season 11 I was citing.
I have a grand appreciation for how you know that's season 11. Whereas, again, big old race. The Amazing Race, I can tell you, like, I loved Jet and Cord, but I don't know what season.
I love Jet and Cord, too.
Are those the Cowboys?
Yeah, the best.
Did they ever win?
No.
The show isn't really about having good characters win very often.
Yeah. In fact, I don't even know. I can't even tell you people that won. I think that show is a lot more about big personalities, either in the positive or negative column, leaving an impression.
Yeah. Or big incoming divorces.
But yeah, I guess maybe that's. Again, Survivor has this weird combination for me of the bluffing and the sort of like how much dishonesty are you willing to put into it with the sort of massive cast that, like, I feel like, why would I get to know everyone early on when most of them will be gone pretty quickly? There's just an odd thing with that doesn't, it's never hooked me. Whereas, like, I appreciate some of the strategy stuff, and I appreciate some of the, like, if I can get to this point in the game, then it all changes. Like, I love that kind of chess of it all, but I don't know, for some reason, The Amazing Race seems, like, way more streamlined to me. Whereas it's probably checkers to Survivor's chess.
I think it is, because...
Proving that I'm an absolute simpleton.
That's what I've always thought about you, and I wanted to have you on the show to kind of let you come to that on your own
and really cement it,
because you can't until you're ready for it. You know, you're not gonna listen to me.
Are we even recording this?
Never. There is no podcast. In fact, the whole series of Survivor has been a long 17-year ruse so I could finally tell you how I feel.
This is actually
Jeff Probst, come on out.
Yeah, this is
it's actually your dad.
this is your life, the podcast. We're rebooting it.
So the very fact that you can, like, with very little effort, go, that was season 12, and that was the one where a guy got bitten by a snake, and that guy's name was Larry. That's amazing to me.
That is what I'm good at. That's the one thing I know how to do.
There's more than one.
Facts from Survivor. Well.
All right.
I don't know. So is there anything left with this episode to discuss?
I'm looking at my notes. I don't see anything too obvious. I think, you know, maybe we've said it all.
Is there anything in the preview that was interesting? Or I don't recall anything.
Yeah. Varner does something.
Yeah. All right. Well, all I know is, long live the queen. Well, I want to ask Mark.
Yes, Scott.
I want to ask you, do you think now that you've been re-exposed this, I think I know the answer. Do you have any interest in knowing what happens this season, or are you just going to check out and live your life blissfully unaware?
I think I can say pretty definitively, no, I'm not interested in the rest of it.
Now, based on what you saw, this one out of context episode, do you think you have a feeling as to who might win?
No, because, I do have a feeling as to who might win. I probably didn't see them.
Do you think the winner of this season was not featured heavily on this episode? Is that what you mean?
Yes. I feel like that is maybe, again, way better than I do, but it seems to me that on Survivor, people sort of fly under the radar for a lot longer than maybe they should and succeed because the heat is off of them, and then they really turn it on at the end. And like that, to me... It's kind of a bummer because you don't get to see them display any ability or strategy. I mean, that is a strategy, but you don't get to see it.
Right. There's not, it's harder to see.
It's not.
That does happen. Not every season, though. Sometimes the most aggressive out there player actually carries it through the whole time and wins.
Is it possible that Cochran wins this season?
It's possible.
Cochran? Oh my God.
Yeah, they just inject him into the tribe at the
very end. He's beloved enough. At the very end, in the final tribal council, they're like, it will be a final four. Cochran, come on out of here.
Make your case as to why you deserve to win this season.
And he's like, well,
hey, I'm great. And you didn't even know I was playing.
You didn't know I was here. I told Debbie what to do. And look, here she is. She made it to the end as well. Sure, it's because everybody thought they could beat her easily, but I'm going to take credit for it. And I'll be the one to beat her.
I love it.
Well, Mark McConville, you've said it all. I really want to thank you for coming on here. First of all, in the middle of the night on a Thursday.
Hey, it was fun to do.
Watching our show. Where can we see you? Where can we find you? What's going on?
You should look to the skies. No, I'm on Twitter and Instagram.
What's your Twitter? What's your Twitter?
It's at Mark McConville.
All right.
Same on Instagram. I take a lot of pictures of stuff. That's right.
Okay. And your social security is what?
Is a number.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. You can't blame me for trying.
No, I can't.
I mean, and Pistol Shrimp Radio.
Yeah,
We
just started a new season on April 4th. So. We're fresh back. That's most Tuesdays through June. I think we have next week is off, and then there's a week in May that we don't have a game. But every Tuesday, with the exception of two, until the middle of June, we're going to be calling.
Exception of the one right after our show.
Right. But we're going to be calling basketball games and doing random absurd shit during those games. And you can get that on iTunes. We're on the Earwolf Network. So,
and if you've ever heard Super Ego, you know that these two guys doing basketball calling is kind of a nutty proposition.
When Matt pitched me the idea of Pistol Shrimps Radio, my response was, that's really stupid, and I think we absolutely have to do it.
Yeah. I don't think we have a choice.
Right. It's like an idea that dumb has to bear out.
And did you guys pitch the team on being their announcers, or how did that happen?
So I think, well, Matt's fiance is on the team.
Oh, okay.
And so I think he just said, would it be cool if we called the games?
Yeah, he's like, I'm coming to the game anyways.
Right. I gotta be here.
Yeah.
Well, Mark McConville, thank you for watching Survivor. Thank you for appearing on Snakes, Rats, and Goats.
My pleasure. May the immunity idol always find its way to your sand pile.
I think we got a new end stinger.
I feel
please
so
don't.
I think we might need to put that into rotation. All right. Well, we're going to stick around and do what? Viewer mail or something?
Yeah. Well, we're going to try some new stuff today, Scott.
Okay. We're trying some new stuff, Mark. So watch out.
So good luck. Listeners, stay tuned. Mark, thanks for joining us. We'll talk
Mark,
to you
I love you, and I will talk to you soon.
Thank you. I love you too. Bye.
Bye, buddy.
Bye.
All right.
Good.
Hello?
I'm going to hang Scott. I'm hanging up now.
Yeah, I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Go for it. Bye, buddy.
Bye, Ryan.
Bye.
Okay, let's leave that in.
Okay. I'll take the marker off it. So, Scott, we're going to try something new going forward. You know, our segments, you know, they're popular. I think people like them.
They're so popular.
You know, it's getting a little tedious. Always looking for these hold-up bros.
Tedious.
Always looking for who stood out in a good way, you know.
Look, I mean, Sandra, it's almost like you have to suspend getting loud out of respect.
Yeah, at this point.
Sandra.
If Sandra's not allowed to get loud anymore, then who is?
Thank you.
And for the record, I would give it to her this episode anyways.
Even though she got voted out.
Yeah.
Actually, she would be the first person voted out in the history of our podcast to earn the coveted Getting Loud Award.
Yes, I agree.
For that reason, I demand we quickly award it to her.
Okay, hold on. Ready?
Right now. We only like it if it's loud.
We only like it if it's loud. Go! I can get loud too. What the f? Hello to
me. Hello. Sandra. All right.
Sandra.
So here's what we're going to try, Scott.
She almost saved herself. Okay, let's try.
We're going to try a listener email segment. All right.
And, excited.
You know, we have one this time, which actually comes from Twitter. You can tweet at us and, you know, if try to get us to follow you back and message us, or you can just email snakesratsgoats@gmail.com. Anytime you want.
Snakesratsgoats.
Can be any. Yeah. Anytime you want, any topic, you know, if you want to ask, you know, boxers or briefs, that's fine. You know, we're probably not going to talk about it for too long.
I get that question a lot.
And it
Everybody
certainly,
wants to know.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't have to be as deep and well thought out as this first question we're going to deal with. Short questions are great too, especially if we start getting a lot. I'd love to.
Okay, so we're just doing one tonight. Is
we're
that
do
it?
One because it's a little bit. It's a meaty question. Okay.
Okay.
You're familiar with it. You saw it on Twitter. It comes from Will Dennison at the Giant Ninja, and he says it's pretty long. I might skip around, but he says, you know. Scott and Ryan, you two talk fairly often about the elegance of the final two. I want to share with you an epiphany that I had last season, not in an effort to change your mind. I don't know about that.
I don't know about that.
But possibly to offer another perspective. I've always agreed with you. The final two is, quote, real Survivor. It's more elegant. The tribe votes people out until the tribe can't vote anyone else out. But what is, quote, voting someone out at its core? It's an exercise in political persuasion. Can you get the group to act as you want it to act? You can't vote anyone out by yourself, quite literally. You need to get people to vote with you in order to have anyone eliminated from the game. It's a consensus opinion. But in a final two, you don't need to get anyone to vote with you. All you need to do is win the final immunity challenge, and you get to pick your final two opponent. That's not Survivor, not at its core. That's the amazing race. That's win the challenge, you win. All right, Scott. What do you think about this? He goes on, you know, more
Mark
to sort
here,
of...
Because now that we got Amazing Race involved, Mark would want to weigh in.
I don't know if I want to burden our guests
words.
With these, with any deep questions
know,
like this. But
we could never have anticipated that. This is really interesting. That's the whole thing? You're done?
No, there's a lot more, but that's the gist of it.
That's the gist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think he's convinced me. I was always kind of on the fence anyways, but I do like this argument a lot, you know?
I was never on the fence. He moved me to the fence.
I love that. I mean, I think he makes a good point, you know, like this idea that, yes, persuasion is a huge part of the game, or at least it certainly can be, and we root for the people who are able to persuade people that maybe you wouldn't think they'd be able to, right? If Sandra sits down and persuades those three people, Ozzy, Andrea, and Sarah tonight, hey, we should vote out Ty. If she actually is successful, that's really good Survivor and really good TV, I think. So I do like this idea that, you know, a final three is actually maybe more pure in a way.
It's an interesting... Okay, here's... That argument is very strong, but while I've always thought that, you know, let's vote everybody out till their voting is impossible, that is a strong point that, okay, then the last person just has to win a challenge, and that is not strategic. In practical terms, though, I'm thinking this out right now. So we're at four people left. Somebody wins that last challenge. They have immunity. It seems as though usually that person still somehow gets to dictate who goes home.
No, I mean...
And either it's who they want or it becomes like a tie-breaking situation, which again is a challenge.
Well, it has to either... Yeah, it has to... Doesn't it kind of have to be who they want or a tie, right? It has to be.
Right.
It can't be
so
them.
Then it becomes... Right, so then it becomes the person who won the challenge gets to decide, or there has
Scott,
to be a
tie-breaking
challenge.
Scott, I think you're successfully making an argument for a final four
here. the winner of that challenge. Oh, that was not where I was going. Because then what happens when you've got five is that,
Five is anytime you have odd numbers.
I wouldn't put it past them to try a Final Four.
Someday they will, just because.
And I wouldn't be surprised if it's this season.
I tell myself this show's going forever. I wouldn't
be surprised if they thought that, like, this season, like, they're going to try every crazy twist they have, and we've got so many great players. Wouldn't it be amazing to have a Final Four with Sandra and Tony and Malcolm and Sierra?
And the game changer. And
instead, we're going to have game changers like Ty and Debbie. And I love them both, but, you know, okay. I also thought that Cochran moment was maybe a little bit setting up for, like, I'm going to be interested to see if there's a change in Debbie's edit.
That's a good Cochran point. Oh, my God. Because they do love him so much. And then they can just credit him for all of it.
The golden boy came in and, like,
I love this.
And is Debbie now going to be like, you know, this was the low point. Now she's going to have a comeback.
Yeah, I love that. That's so good.
So keep your eye out for that. but so I think that, was it Will Dennison? Makes a very strong case. It makes me feel better about the final three.
Yeah.
So I thank you, Will, because actually you've helped me to feel better about the final three. I still might prefer the final two because I'm a traditionalist who fears change. And I do think that ultimately the final three thing is, from the perspective we're talking about, is just adding another layer to the challenge aspect, because it's slightly more complicated. It's going to be the person who won immunity gets to decide, or the person who wins the tie-breaking challenge goes home.
Yeah, but they don't actually get to decide. They don't for sure get to decide. They get to decide between a tie and the person who's going home, right? But they don't get to pick their opponent for the end. They get to pick two opponents, which is much, much harder than picking one. And they don't even really get to pick two. They get to pick potentially two.
I don't know if picking two is much harder than picking one.
It's totally harder.
Why?
Because there's usually, when you're picking between two people, there's one clear choice, right? Like we get on Woo's case all the time, right? Not always, but often, right? Whereas when you're picking between two out of three, there's a lot more layers to that.
What if you think that those two, what if you're Kim Spradlin, you think those two people are your allies who you can beat, and the other person, you know, getting rid of, but you know that the other two would be pissed.
Sometimes you're right.
That if you cut Sabrina or Chelsea, they will be pissed at you and vote against you. But if they're both sitting next to you, then nobody's pissed at you, and neither of them can vote against you, and nobody's going to vote for them.
No, I mean, you're right. For Kim, it was an easy choice. I'm just saying it seems harder to pick one. To pick the worst of three than it is to pick the best of two. Do you know what I mean?
No, you're no Will Dennison.
I'm not really explaining this well. Anyways, so that is
this is great. Great viewer mail segment.
So, now it's not always going to be this thought provoking, or it's certainly not always going to change our mind, but we're open to you trying if you'd like.
I think it will always be the
stuff. You know what we're going to get is...
I think we have the smartest audience in all of podcasting.
We're going to get a bunch of emails that are like, who do you think stood out in a good way this week? Who do you think made a decision that they're going to regret later?
Well, we'll take it. Anything. Do we get any good reviews? Anything?
I haven't looked lately.
Oh, man.
My iTunes is corrupted. So it won't open.
How'd you do on your Facebook Survivor
online Survivor? Oh my gosh, it's still going on. But
still going, so you're still in it?
Yeah, I did meet a someone who I want to bring on as a guest in a couple weeks once we're done. So I don't know if we talked about this much, but I got sort of accidentally involved in a game of Facebook Survivor, which is basically an ORG, online reality game. Mm-hmm. And it's been kind of insane. I had to win immunity tonight or I was going home. We're down to like final seven now. And it's been quite fun. Very, very fun. Very, very strategic. Very difficult. A lot of anxiety. But it's been great. And there's a person...
So did you...
Go ahead.
Did you win immunity?
I did win immunity, yeah. It was close. Good, it was close.
I'm rooting for you.
Yeah.
Now you're going to have to keep winning immunity now or what?
I got a little more room to move now, but it's going to be tough. Okay. If I win one more, then I think I'm in good shape.
All right. Don't embarrass. You're playing for this whole podcast. Don't embarrass
me. And there's literally no prize. That's the worst part. It's just for like bragging rights. And three people have quit already.
Right. So, there's so many people who will be impressed by those brags.
I know.
So there's a person involved in it that you would like to bring on as a guest on our show.
Yeah, yeah. So we've she's kind of stabbed me in the back earlier on in the season. But now I'm like trying to like win her loyalty back, and it's been a long process. She's an actress and she seems pretty funny, at least when we've been chatting and stuff. I've never met her in real life. But
is this someone we've heard of? Or
I don't know. I doubt it.
All right.
Yeah. But maybe. In any case, I don't want to like, you know, say her name in case we don't bring her on. But
it's Angela Bassett.
But at some point we'll bring her on and she'll, you know, make fun of me for trusting her too much and it'll be fun.
Good. All right, I'm in favor of that.
But she's never seen the show, so
she's never seen the show, but she's playing the online game.
Exactly.
How'd that happen?
I gotta say, she's kind of a natural too.
Did a friend like rope her in or something?
Yeah. So the way it started was kind of a bit. This guy posted on Facebook. He tagged like 20 people and he said, "This thread is now a game of Survivor. We'll vote someone out every day, right?" And I think they were all just joking around until I saw it and didn't realize they were joking around and started making alliances.
Uh-huh.
You know me. I'm a gamer.
So you just turned it into a real thing.
Yeah. And then I heard, like on day two, I heard someone go, someone said that you have a podcast about Survivor. Is that true? I was like, well, I'm not going to lie because it's pretty easy to look up. So...
Oh man. Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
So you, hey, look, you if you just want to email us and tell us, go back to the segments. We don't want this email segment. That's fine, but we'd like to get our listeners more involved in the show, and this is one way we're going to do it. Remember, snakesratsgoats@gmail.com.
And tweet us.
Tweet us.
And review us.
At Scott Chernoff. At Ryan Elder Music. Review us, rate us on iTunes. We love it. Any star, amount of stars we'll take.
We'll take any stars.
Yes.
We get paid by the star.
All right, Scott. Great podcasting with you as always. I'll talk to you next week.
Great podcasting with you as always. I'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, everybody.
The tribe has spoken. Now I'm going to put out your little lamp with my lamp stopper.